Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson. And Ryan and Doctor, as a way of getting our conversation started today, listen to this statistic. The Nielsen Company reported that in 2010, Americans spent 906 million hours on social networking sites in 1 month.
Luann.
That's a lot of time.
That shouldn't surprise me, but it does. That is a massive number. I mean, if you add that up, that's almost 11 billion hours a year.
And it has great implications for the family and for all aspects of life, including our spiritual development. With Americans spending that amount of time on sites such as Facebook and Twitter, that means that there are 906 million hours a month that are not being spent in face-to-face relationship building with family and friends. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with the internet or with some aspects of it or with social networking websites, if we let them consume us, they can harm our closest relationships. Now, how to avoid that trap and strengthen the bonds that mean the most to us was our topic last time, as we were joined by Pastor Kerry Shook and his wife, Chris, who have written a book called Love at Last Sight. And I'm so pleased that they're going to be with us again today to talk about just how passionately they feel about encouraging others to invest themselves fully in nurturing our marriages and our other relationships that we love.
Well, Dad, they even went as far as to declare a Facebook fast in the church they pastor together in Texas called Woodlands Church. The two of them have been married for 25 years. They've got four kids. And I really appreciated how open and honest they are about their own struggles in making time for each other in their busy lives.
Well, they are busy, Ryan. Woodlands Church is a congregation of about 18,000. Chris even helps coordinate the women's ministry, which is one of the largest in the United States.
Well, Pastor Kerry and Chris, it is a pleasure to have you back, and we loved having you here last time. Now, we've got a lot more to ask you about related to this important topic, and so thanks for coming back.
Oh, great to be back with you, Dr. Dobson.
We're so excited to be here.
Chris, during yesterday's program, you talked about the importance of being intentional in building your relationship with your spouse, that it's not something that just that you can count on happening without thought, without a plan. Explain for those who don't know what that means. What does that look like? Give me an example of being intentional.
It's very practical. Not mystical, but just practical. It's something as simple as deciding that Kerry and I are both going to get out our calendars or our day timers at a certain time every week and look ahead at the next week and see when are we going to make time to connect with each other. And very practical things during the day. Kerry will call and let me know sometime during the day, usually, that he's thinking of me or check in. Not because necessarily that's important to him, but because he knows that's important to me. He's asked me, what's important to you? And then followed through on it. And I think it's just that we encounter little things every day that are an assault on our marriage. And we have to be proactive in saying, you know, no, this isn't okay. And let's talk about it.
Kerry, we often hear people who get in trouble in their marriage. They have a just difficulty and they get a divorce. We often hear them say, we just drifted apart. You know, we were so in love in the beginning and I don't even really know where it changed. But we became different people and we just drifted apart. What Chris is talking about is not letting that happen. Is that right?
That's exactly right, because all marriages drift apart over time unless you do something very intentional to grow close together. And so Chris and I have this marriage vision that we keep in front of each other, a kind of a painted picture of what we want our marriage to look like. And then we've written down some action points in order to get there. And one of the things that is so important in our marriage is we say we have to risk awkwardness. I have to risk being a little awkward to really get to a deeper level in the marriage relationship, because most people think that marriage should just come naturally. Mm-hmm. And if it's not natural, if it's not easy, then it must mean you're not for each other. And they get a divorce. Mm. But we say that it doesn't come naturally. It's supernaturally. As you step out and risk awkwardness, like the awkwardness of asking, how can I meet your needs? Or the awkwardness for us of expressing anger. That was very awkward for us. We felt like as Christians, you should never get mad at each other. Mm. I guess we didn't read enough of your books, Dr. Dobson, because you know, we felt like, oh, that's not good to rock the boat. And so we would hold it in. And we had to risk expressing our anger. And so it feels awkward when you start doing some of these principles we have in our book from God's Word. But you have to do these things and take that step and be intentional about it so your marriage can grow closer rather than drift apart. Because I guarantee you, if you don't, it will drift apart.
You know, some of the best illustrations for a speaker and writer occur when you're not really anticipating them. I'm sure as a minister, where every Sunday you have to be up in front of that crowd with new ways to challenge your congregations. And sometimes thoughts occur while you're riding in the car or what have you. Well, I had one of my best. I'll congratulate myself because I was fishing with a friend. And we both had rowboats on a very choppy lake. And we wanted to fish together. And so what we found is that that lake would take one of us to the north shore and the other to the west shore if we didn't row like crazy. Mm-hmm. If you don't row, if you don't intentionally stay together, which is a lot of hard work, you just bounce along away from each other. That's the way the wind and the lake work. And in marriage, you better row like crazy, because if you don't, you'll wind up at a different shore.
No,
isn't that wonderful? I mean, doesn't that bring tears to your eyes?
I love it. I'll never forget it. I think that's what we need in marriage is those visual pictures like that. As we were talking about ping pong yesterday, and when we did this ping pong illustration of hitting the ball back and forth to stay at the table, we hit some of the ping pong balls out to our congregation. Mm-hmm. And I've had people bring those up to me and say, 7 years ago, I got this from that illustration. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it. And now my wife and I stay at the table. I think that's why Jesus used illustrations like that.
We sure did.
There are people listening to us who didn't hear our program yesterday. Explain the ping pong illustration again, because it's really good. You actually brought a table up on the platform at church.
We did. Yeah, we did. And Chris and I played each other. And we said the goal when you bring up a tough issue is to stay at the table. And I would usually walk away from the table.
As opposed to what? Just quitting?
Usually what I would do as a guy, it would be like, I don't really want to talk about this. And Chris would get more emotional. And the more emotional she would get, the more I would kind of glaze over. And I didn't really want to deal with it. And so whenever she would bring up a tough issue, I would just want to walk away from the table or let the ball drop. So she would serve to me on stage at the ping pong table, and I would just let the ball drop. And I did that about five times until she said, this is what it felt like. It was so frustrating when I would bring up a difficult issue in our marriage, and then Carrie wouldn't want to deal with it. And then we began to volley back and forth. And I said, guys, all you have to do is stay at the table.
Yeah.
Just listen. She doesn't want you to solve all her problems. You can't. Mm-hmm. But just stay at the table and listen and engage. And that little illustration has helped a lot of people in our church, and it helps us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, a theme comes up on Family Talk often where I know there's people listening to this and they think, man, that sounds like a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. And my response is, it is. Mm-hmm. But most people don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But after 50 years, Dad, it had to be a lot of work. But you look back, isn't it the greatest experience you've had?
Without question. While we have worked at our relationship, I mean, I have loved every day of it.
Yeah.
I really mean that. I have just loved spending my life with Shirley. Mm. And I think she feels the same way. So there is a reward,
right,
as you mentioned. Chris, I have to ask you a question. We mentioned last time that you teach a lot of Bible studies for women. and talk to a lot of young, newly married or recently married women.
Yes.
What are they saying to you today? What kind of feedback are you getting? Are they frustrated in marriage? Are they enjoying what Shirley and I have together and Ryan and Laura have together? Or are they deeply angry but are holding it in?
I'd have to say that overall, they feel the kind of frustration that Ryan mentioned, that they are deeply surprised at how hard this thing called marriage really is. And I know it's been the biggest surprise of my life, how intentional I have to be in my marriage and with my family as well, if we're going to really make this work. And I think they're surprised. I think many people come into the church and don't really know where to turn. They say, okay, I'm supposed to love my husband, but now what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And we're so thankful for examples like you and Shirley, mm-hmm. who we can look at and say, yes, this can be done. Here's a shining example. This can be done. Not because you're just unique and special in the way that you never had to work at it, but because you decided many, many years ago, this is what we're going to do. This is what our marriage will look like.
Mm. Oh, let me role play with you, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm a young woman, and I have been married.
It's kind of hard to picture, I got to be honest.
Well, I'm working with you, Dr.
Try, okay? I've been married for 4 years. My husband works so hard. He works all the time. And when he comes home, he's worn out. And we really don't have time to do much together. We don't go out to eat. I mean, we just exist. And now I've got these two kids to take care of. And my life, frankly, is very, very frustrating. Mm. And I love the Lord, and I do love my husband. There's no romantic content to our marriage. What can I do about that?
And that's the point where I would encourage a woman to replay everything back, go back to square one. And I think many times women think that, well, this is just how it has to be because he comes in, for instance, and he gets on his computer. Well, that's just the way it has to be. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things we take for granted and assume that this is what society says we have to do. Mm-hmm. And instead, mm-hmm. taking a close look and reevaluating all the decisions that have been made up to this point as far as how our time is spent and what we do together. Mm-hmm. And many times it means cutting back on income or an extracurricular activity but it all starts with coming back together with the husband, sitting down, having that heart-to-heart, face-to-face talk, and saying, I love you. I'm really concerned about where our marriage is headed. Yeah. When I see the trajectory we're on, and project this out into the future, it scares me. Mm-hmm. And that's not where I want to end up with you.
You know, bless their hearts, women are thinking about it. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about the relationship. They're trying to figure out how to make it better. And they're trying to get into his head. They want to know what he's thinking, and he frequently won't tell them. And the guys are thinking about something else often. That a guy gets his kicks, frankly, out of being successful in business. I mean, when he makes money and when he is successful and people are telling him that he's doing well and he buys a bigger house and a bigger car, that meets his emotional need. For a woman, it's largely in her relationship with her husband. And Scripture says that her desire is unto her husband, that God made her that way, and thank God that he did. But the problem that she has is, how do I get him where I am?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough assignment. I wrote a book about it.
Yes.
I bet you're going to do it too.
Yes. Well, and we've been with so many people being in the ministry, and I'm sure you have as well, but men and women who at the end of their lives, we're privileged to get to be with them. And not a one has said, bring me my gold watch and bring me my sports car, bring me my trophies.
Or my laptop.
Or my stock ledger. None of that. Suddenly it becomes crystal clear that relationships were all that mattered. Mm. Yeah. And they want to be with their wife. They want their kids from wherever they are in the country to come back to them, men or women. And so although I know from experience, having a husband and sons of my own, that is the way men are hardwired. I know that at the end, They really do deeply crave that relationship.
Let me talk to the men.
Yes.
I talked for the woman just a minute ago. Let me talk to the men. And then, Ryan, I want you to. Okay. I want to say to that guy that I just described that, you know, if you're a young man, you'll get through your 30s and into your 40s. And at some point, it may be too late by then, at some point, you will realize that your ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. Mm-hmm. If you have not built relationships with your kids, if you have not fully understood and loved your wife, if you haven't done what we read in Ephesians about a man loving his wife as Christ loved the church, it will come up empty. I guarantee you it will not matter to you later. Mm-hmm. And now's the time to deal with it.
And it's never too late to start.
That'll preach, Gary. Right. I don't know.
That is exactly the message that we need to tell people. But it's never too late to start that. I think some men think, oh, I've kind of blown it, and I can't really do it now. Mm-hmm. I've already, let my kids are almost grown, or my relationship with my wife has really drifted. And it's just never too late to start and let God give you the power to love the way He's called you to love. I'd say this too, Dr. Dobson, that Chris has been so good at when I'm getting off base and when I'm working too much and thinking too much about success, instead of just hitting me over the head with the truth that I'm off track, she really shows me respect and love for what I'm doing. But then she will share with me in a loving way, straightforward way, what I'm doing wrong and how to come back and really reconnect.
Shirley did that for me. Mm-hmm. It was not done in an angry way, but she showed me what she needed from me. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it's what I needed from me too. Mm-hmm. Ryan?
Well, I think a lot of it deals with perspective. It took me a while to understand what it was like for Laura to be at home. I come home and she hears about my day. And to her, it sounds wildly exciting. I interviewed this person on the radio and I thought of this new business venture and I'm doing all of these things. For me, this is my job. This is what I do for a living. But she looks at that and then says, well, I cleaned the floors this morning and then the dogs came in and messed them up. So I cleaned them again. Mm-hmm. And I took care of Lincoln all day and I had about...
And I did the laundry and I did the dishes and I did the bills. Mm-hmm.
And I maybe had 4 minutes of adult conversation with a person that called and had the wrong number. Yeah. And it's the perspective of that. I remember the first time she brought it up, I got defensive. Mm. I said, it's my job. It's what I do. What do you expect me to do? And she's like, I don't expect you to do anything. I'm just telling you it's different from this side of the fence. And it took me a while to figure that out, her job is as hard as mine is, except she does it alone. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to be able to realize that and appreciate what she does and look for ways to stimulate her in intellect and emotion and fulfillment in other things besides cleaning the floors and taking care of a kid all day.
That's well said. Mm. Luann, I know you have thoughts about what we're talking about. I want you to share.
Yes, a fellow mother of four.
Well, I'm relating to Chris, and I think so much about, you mentioned earlier that multitasking will kill us, and somehow we've put this up on a pedestal as moms, that the more my kids are doing, the more I'm doing, the more I can say, look at my resume, whether it's room mother, carpool driver, or whatever, then I feel valuable and I feel important. But you know what? I have nothing left for my husband when he gets home at the end of the day. I am drained. Mm. And I just wonder how many of us don't have anything left for those men that come home. So they do go and turn on the television because we're pretty ragged and we're pretty out there. And I would challenge us, what kind of message are we sending when they walk in?
What you're saying is this coin has two sides.
Absolutely.
Yes. And it's a vicious cycle too.
Yeah.
I see it where, I'll come home and I'll be tired and kind of worn out. And then she's worked really hard, but I don't appreciate that. Mm. So she doesn't feel like being loving. Mm-hmm. And then I don't feel like being loving. Mm-hmm. And I think the man, and I know you've taught this over and over, Dr. Dobson, I think the husband has to be the one to take the initiative to break that vicious cycle, to say, I am going to appreciate you and meet your needs.
Yeah.
There is another side to the coin, too, that I've always felt obligated to tell when we talk about this. And I tried to do it in a book or two. And that's that a man cannot meet all of a woman's needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if she does wait for him all day and there's no other adult in her life and she is lonely and she can't wait for him to come home, he's not going to be up to that. I mean,
you're right. You know, it's too much pressure on us.
It really is. A guy can only go so far in that direction. And when he has gone as far as he can, his wife needs to say, it's enough. I accept. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a way to meet each other halfway.
Yeah, there's little things you can do to show that as well. I said the DVR is one of the greatest ways to do that. Laura and I've actually turned our TV off, so we don't have one anymore. But I'm a big TV fan. I'm a big fight fan. I love to watch that. Mm-hmm. And Laura wanted me to prove my love and affection in the middle of TV and would just come over and sit down and start a conversation. And it bugged me because, you know, she's been doing her own thing all evening, and I've respected that, and I'm doing something. But when she wants to talk, then I'm supposed to stop doing what I'm doing. And it finally dawned on me one day, I could just hit pause. It's always going to be here. And if it's going to be a long one, I can just hit record. I'll watch it later.
See, there's modern technology used for the good.
It is.
You know, the policy that works in the situation you just described is what I call an equal time amendment. For every minute that you give to that, you give to her. So that it balances. It
be
out.
How long are those
equal,
fights?
It really ought to be more than equal. But see, she needs to have a whole lot more time
okay,
for me.
Okay, 3-1. I don't care what it is.
I
just
turned
agree
the TV
on
off
it.
Completely. Yeah.
Luann?
Well, it's that whole human contact. I was just thinking, you know, when we have the email and the Facebook and the Twitter and the text. My mother called the other day and she got my voicemail and she said, I just wanted to hear your voice. And when we're always texting and everything, look what we're doing right now. We're speaking words on the radio, and there are people right now who just have the radio on because they want that voice and that human contact. Mm-hmm. And that sounds so elementary, but we've got to get back to the way that God designed it, one-on-one relationships with other people.
We'd like to try to get the closest form of communication we can. Mm-hmm. And you may have parents who live across the country, and it's great that you call them and email mm-hmm. them, but you know, visit when you can, and if you can't visit, then call, and if you can't call, then email, and if you can't email, mm-hmm. then text, but trying to work our way down instead of going straight to the lowest form
idea.
Of communication,
exactly.
Which happens to be the easiest.
That's good.
You know, we have the very last message Linda left to Laura.
Laura's mom.
Yeah, my wife's mom passed away. Mm-hmm. And
something about that voice.
We've listened to it 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just something really, really small. It's very, very short. But hearing that voice is something very different.
And Steve's father called to wish him a happy birthday the other day. And we have that same thing, Ryan. And his voice cracked and he said, Steve, my boy, I love you. And that's precious. That a text can't replace that.
Where does the time go in this studio? Chris and Carrie Shook, what a pleasure to have you here twice. I did lie to our listeners, though, because at the end of the program yesterday, I told everybody we're going to talk about your first book, which is
1 month to live.
1 month to live. And it is about?
It's all about what would you do if you knew you had 1 month to live? I'll tell you what, Dr. Dobson, you would definitely put relationships first.
We'll have them back again sometime.
We're going to have you back.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that other book, the one we've been talking about on these two programs, more or less, Love at Last Sight, 30 Days to Grow and Deepen Your Closest Relationships. It's been great having you with us. You're fun to talk to, and let's do it again.
Oh, we'd love to. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you both.
Mm-hmm. We will look forward to that return trip and make sure that we let our listeners know when that's going to happen. In the meantime, we have both of our guest books available at myfamilytalk.com.
Also there, you can learn more about their church and ministry and also find a link, maybe ironically, to our Facebook page. And we're also offering a special 3-CD collection of some of our favorite Family Talk broadcasts dealing with the marriage topics. And you can request that at myfamilytalk.com.
Of course, if you prefer to hear a human voice at the other end of the line, give us a call. Our phone number 877-732-6825. One more time, 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for spending this part of your day with us, and we invite you back next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan Dobson, and you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I can't tell you how much I love my job. I get to wake up every day to work alongside my dad while we fight for families and for our culture. But we need your financial support to keep doing so. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org, via our Family Talk smartphone app, or by calling us at 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825, or find all the information you need about donating at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks for listening.